Well, you may be seated. And it will profit you tonight, I believe, to follow along in your Bible in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 30. Proverbs chapter 30 tonight. How many of you need some more wisdom? Right? We could use a little bit more wisdom. And sometimes you feel that God's working on you. He humbles us sometimes by using things lesser than us that we assume are to teach us. And it's God's way of keeping us humble. And the Bible says out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he's ordained wisdom. Now, I'm not saying take your advice from a two-year-old, but there is great wisdom in sometimes unlikely areas in our lives. And in Proverbs chapter 30 here, we'll find four things that are very small but very wise. And these things you wouldn't be likely to go to and ask their advice on any area in your life. And they don't have great voices to proclaim their wisdom, but they have great acts that show the depth of their knowledge and their understanding. And if you would, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24, the Bible says, "There are four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces." Let's pray together as we get started. Dear Father, I ask that you would teach us. Holy Spirit, would you open our hearts to the word and your word to our hearts? Help us to grow from tonight and the things that we learn. Help us be humble enough to learn from little things and that teach us great lessons. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So these four things, I'm mainly going to focus on the ant tonight, and we, in the end, may look at the other three. But God is going to teach us wisdom from the ant. And I believe the lesson from the ant here is preparation. The Bible says that the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. And I don't know where the ant hangs its calendar, which side of the wall, what room, but apparently the ant, it's busy during the summer. It knows something is coming. And I wouldn't say that, well, I don't know for sure how smart the ant is, what it could tell you about what's going to come. But its actions reveal that it has a knowledge of that it needs to do something. I believe this wisdom is given by its creator. It's an instinct. And so whether the ant's brain is really rationalizing, oh, cold weather's here, I should start, you know, saving some stores for the winter or not, we don't know. But God, its creator, has endowed it with wisdom beyond what it can see and experience in its little world. And the same thing for us. As we think of this idea of preparation tonight that I'd like to just give you several thoughts on, God sees the big picture of our lives, and he knows what's coming. He knows what's around the corner outside our little realm of anthill. And so he knows what we need to do and the processes he's going to bring us to shape us into the man he wants us to be. And so as we think of preparation, first of all, I think the ant represents this in that it's preparation is going to take faith and foresight. As we said, you know, the ant doesn't know everything, but it does know winter's coming, and it's going to take faith. And I believe that there's a necessity today of preparation, that we see and we think that things will be as they are, and things will continue with the opportunities that we have today. And a lot of times I find myself, when I could be diligent about preparation for something, I'm not, because I'm taking that opportunity for granted that I'll have time later. And I was talking with Andrew on the phone the other day, and he was telling me that he is so grateful for the times he felt the Lord leading him to prepare to study something out in the Bible, particularly what we're talking about, and how shortly after that he needed to know that information in a conversation. He needed to know that Bible doctrine. And so that was a good testimony to preparation. Yeah. And we always have those conversations where we think, I better just be quiet. I'm really not prepared for this conversation. And that's good too. But faith and foresight. So preparation takes faith. And preparation takes diligence. The ant is a picture of diligence. The Bible uses that over in the 6th chapter, I believe, of Proverbs. And talking about, go to the ant, thou sluggard. And the ant is hard at work. You know, having no guide or overseer, but its instincts and its integrity cause it to work and to work with a diligence. And that's, you know, I believe the necessity of preparation is because of limited time that we have. The Bible says redeem the time because the days are evil. There's an urgency to be prepared for God's work and to start that now, not one day. And it's going to take diligence. It takes work to prepare. Anybody who's prepared for something, whether it's something a meal that you've had to prepare and cook, find a recipe, go get all the ingredients, put it together, you know, serve it, all that, it took diligence. It takes work. It takes foresight and faith, and it takes, you know, a commitment to see it through. And then great preparations precede great accomplishments. It's going to take patience that, you know, anything, any area in your life, it's you don't get prepared in a moment. You don't get prepared for college in 1 year of school. They prepare you with 12 years of school. You know, whether it really takes that long or not, there's some debate as to that. But anyways, the system has you in there for 12 years preparing you for a certain place where you could then go for another 3, 4, 5 years, however long, and get prepared for something else. And this preparation, it takes patience. You know, I'm tended to start something, and then if I don't see immediate results, why bother? Why continue? I could go do something else with my time. And God's going to teach us patience in this idea of preparation. Now, I believe God prepares a work for a man and a man for a work. Take Adam, for instance, where God prepared Adam for the garden, but the garden for Adam. And God has, I think we need to understand that God has prepared us to good works, the Bible says. There's a future preparation. We've been prepared before we were even born. The Bible says, to ordain two good works, that we should walk in them. And God sees our life. He sees us coming to the earth. He sees, you know, our life played out. And he says, there's certain factors I'm going to need to put in your life to bring you to this point. My will, my glory. And those factors, let's take... So to say that is to say certain factors go into preparation. That if we want an end result of this, we have to prepare by doing this. So A and B will equal C. And, you know, if I come in the kitchen and I ask you, what are you cooking? And you say, I'm cooking lasagna. And I say, oh, I love lasagna. Is it a meat lasagna, a cheese lasagna? You say, well, this is a vegetarian lasagna. Right there, I know you've gone wrong. No. No, you say it's a meat lasagna, meat and cheese and the whole thing. But for some reason, I see you pull out broccoli. Is that a side? No. Look at the recipe. You know, you've got off the recipe by now. Anyways, you're putting in ranch dressing. You're putting in black beans. Adding a little bit of whatever it is, steak to the lasagna. And you know, you're not putting in the right ingredients to reach your desired end. And a lot of times we have this idea, one day I'm going to be this. I'm going to really do this. But if we look at the factors, what is my life consisting of? What are the building blocks I'm putting in my life now? Does that equal that? And we're deceiving ourselves if we think that one day we'll just be prepared. You know, I don't think any soldiers, except maybe during the draft, were just sent right out. You know, there's always a time of preparation, always a time of preparing, to prepare mentally, spiritually, physically, and so on. And I think it could go without being said, but with the necessity of preparation is that God wants everybody to prepare. You say, well, you know, maybe most of my life's behind me, or I think I'm good at this time, everything's together. But God has a greater vision than what you and I have. God has greater goals than us, for us, than getting up, going to work, going to bed. You know, God has a greater vision for our life, a greater purpose that may include those activities, but is accomplishing something greater in his plan. And the ant teaches us this, that, let me go back to that thought that God wants you to prepare, and that's a work for everybody to do. In essence, like you see an anthill, there's certain ants, everybody has a job, but they're all doing their job. And I'm looking at some points I skipped. Anyways, we'll just skip down through theirs. But certain actions are going to lead us to certain goals. And we see in the Bible several examples of preparation. One is a man by the name of Jotham, that the Bible says of him, he was a king of Judah, I believe, or Israel, one of the kings. And it says that he became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord. And then you may well know Rehoboam, Solomon's son, who had every advantage coming to him to be a good king. But in the course of his life, he did not prepare to be that good king. And when the kingdom was put in his lap, so to speak, he did not make a good king. And the Bible says this is why, because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He had the godly influence of David, the Psalms. He had, the law and the commandments. He had every advantage to be a good king, but he neglected his time of preparation and in the preparation of his heart, his spiritual preparation to be a good king. And he made a miserable failure of it and did evil in the sight of the Lord. The Bible says that the preparation of the heart is from the Lord. So, as we think of preparation, the Bible says that the eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I want you to think tonight of an archer. How many of you have shot a bow and arrow? Okay. Well, you've probably only shot the arrow with a bow, but excuse my language there, but you shot an arrow, and it may have looked like this, a carbon fiber arrow, may have been the homemade wood arrow. We used to make those bows. It's surprising nobody got hurt. Find a stick, cut that notch, put that string that's too weak for this on there, pull it back far too far on this little stick and let it go right at your brother. It's totally dangerous. And you see God protecting you there because he has a work prepared for you, so he's just putting a hedge about you. But this arrow teaches us something about preparation. And this arrow didn't make itself. Someone had a design for it. Someone had a goal for it. And it's in the end designed for a purpose, either for the pleasure of someone shooting, just recreationally, or possibly hunting. If you put the right tip on it and put it in the hands of a hunter, it's going to maybe bring home a deer or whatever you're trying to hunt. And this arrow, there's a lot of factors that go into its preparation. The fletchings here are going to help it fly true and straight. You need a good tip that's designed for whatever your target is, whether you need a broad head, a head that's going to spread on impact with knife-like blades on it to really tear and cut, or you need just a practice field tip like this to just shoot at a target. And you're going to need the right length of arrow for your bow, depending on your actual draw size and the right weight. The weight matters as well. And so there's a lot of factors that come into mind when choosing an arrow. So there's a lot the hunter has to prepare. And I want you to think tonight as you are the arrow, and God is the archer, and God is preparing you for work. Now, we saw that God has a plan for us. He has an expected end. And God has the end goal, and that is the glory of God being fulfilled in our lives, our lives harmonizing with the glory of God. And that's his target. We have a lot of plans down here. We shoot on one level, God's shooting on another. And we have a lot of times, well, I want to do this and that, and those can all be good, but God sees farther than that. And so at times, imagine that God is pulling you back in his bow, And there's a pause there as the archer is sighting in. He brings it back to the same place and as best he can and sights in the point he wants to reach. And there's a pause usually. Now, if you wait too long, fortunately, the compound bows have a let-off, so you don't have to hold all that weight. But recurve, you better not wait too long, or that's a lot of weight to hold that out. But God can handle it. And he's holding you there at times. And it seems like, God, what are you wanting me to do? What's my purpose? Where's my objective? Where am I going? And God is looking at a sight, the glory of God. And by the way, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sin is an archery term, to miss the mark. And whenever we feel like we've deviated from God's glory and his purpose for us, we've sinned, we've got off, we can come back, you know, through repentance and confession. And you know, God's plan, his objective doesn't change. So though the arrow has been affected by circumstances, wind and so on, you know, he's the master archer and he can fire you off again. But so in drawing this illustration together, we're the arrow and God's the archer, and he sees the objective and he's pulling us back, and there's a pause. There's a pause of God directing your life. And in that pause is preparation. And that's the time we have to prepare before we're let go. That's a very short time. And this preparation is on three levels. There's a physical preparation. You know, maybe you've had a physical goal. I'm going to go to the gym, or I'm going to lose weight, or whatever your physical goal is. I'm going to go walking every day. I don't know why, but some people like to walk every day. And or you have a mental, you know, I'm going to pursue my studies. I'm going to reach this. I want this career, this job. There's always a way we can prepare. There's spiritual preparation. And God prepares us in all three ways. They all harmonize and end up working together because he is the great archer. He has the mastermind behind it. And in this, I want you to notice briefly these three other characters that teach us wisdom. And what they do is they teach us valuable lessons. While we're preparing, the first Kohoni teaches us faith. He builds his house on the rock. And so you're waiting on God and you say, God, what do you want me to do? And in the Old Testament, the verse I quoted, that I have not seen or ear heard, it goes on to say, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared. In the Old Testament, it says, for them that waiteth for him, for him that waiteth for him. And so God is, but it does say in Corinthians when it repeats that verse, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. And God does that through his word. And our faith, the Kohoni, finds his strength in the word of God, in the rock. And he grounds deep in that and becomes stable. And the locust, as we're in the archer's hand, we need unity with his purpose. We don't want to be dropping out of the set there. We need to be molded to his purpose, to pick up the arrow of his choice, to be pulled back in the bow nice and smooth. And that's unity. We're harmonizing with God's purpose for us and with a surrendered will. The locusts go forth, all of them, by bands. And, you know, if you study that out, locusts are actually very cannibalistic. I didn't know that. But I think that's God's safe cure against them destroying the whole earth. But billions of dollars are lost every year through locusts. Interesting enough. But their unity, they cause so much destruction because they're unified and they work together. And when one locust group comes at one direction and meets one coming from another, they're more likely to eat each other than when they're all going the same direction. And whatever that means, when we're harmonizing with God's purposes, it'll be better off. We'll be more pliable and more able to fit his purpose. And then the spider, I believe, is an example of integrity. And it says, God says, I'm going to bring you to an expected end. The spider reaches with our hands and is in king's palaces. And I believe, as you'll take a look at that, it said to me that the spider is integrity, the strength of this arrow. When this arrow is shot, it goes from 0 miles per hour to several hundred at times. It can go up to 300 feet per second on a nice compound boat. That's pretty fast. A recurve boat would probably be less. But that's extreme force. And if you have a blemish, if you have a crack in your arrow, the arrow can just self-destruct, blow up in your face when you put it into that amount of sudden force. And God sees that we're going to need integrity. We're going to need our, strengthened, tried, the fletchings to make us fly true and straight with His purpose, the right tip to endure whatever we're going to face. And that's all about preparation. And so God, maybe tonight you say, God, what's your will for me? What I feel like I'm at a standstill. What do you want me to do? And just set yourself in God's hands again and say, God, you're the archer, and you have a sight, you have a goal for me. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to be in your will. And I want to be that usable arrow. I want to be in your hands as your arrows of a mighty man doing your will. And so we also, at this preparation, we're a prepared people for a prepared place. God prepares us for heaven. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. So tonight, God wants you to prepare. Would you turn to the person beside you and tell them, God wants you to prepare? Tell them, they need to know. Yes, God wants you to prepare. He does. And I didn't want to tonight get into too many specifics. God has a different will for all of our life, but it is all centered around Christ-likeness and the glory of God. And so whatever path He puts us on, maybe there's something you've already been thinking of. You're like, I should study this out in my Bible. Or I should get busy about praying. Or, I could be more prepared in this area of study and research. I could excel in my job at this if I did some more learning. I could be a little bit more fit physically and, maybe forgo some, health problems down the road. Preparation is going to take vision. It takes faith. Noah prepared an ark. He did it by faith in God. And it's going to take diligence, and it's going to take patience. And so while we're preparing, God said to the church of Revelation, you've kept the word of my patience. And so that's going to guide us in our preparation. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I pray that